I'm the big Ty Simpson head on the podcast, which I love. I love Ty Simpson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with both my co-hosts, Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. I usually start by saying, how you doing? But Mike, how funny was it that Ty Simpson went in the first round? You weren't here last week. Go.
That was very funny. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I thought Jeremiah Love was somewhat shocking going to Arizona, and then Ty Simpson goes to the Rams, and it was, wow, okay, well, there's the surprise of the draft right there.
Yeah, you want to hear the NFC West did amazing things with each of their first picks. Jeremiah Love at 3, Ty Simpson is at 13, DeJon Stripling at 33, and Jadarian Price at 32. Just incredible things. Incredible things with their first picks. As Roto World called it, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire Memorial pick of Jadarian Rice. All right. So Mike, how are you? Bryce Eldridge is a San Francisco Giant. How are we feeling? Is the big boy going to hit nukes into McCovey Cove?
He should. If he doesn't strike out. So.
Oh, come on, Mike.
Yeah, he definitely has a problem striking out, but he was batting pretty good as a Rivercat. He was like 320 average, and he had 5 home runs. He hit 2 in 1 game. So the power is definitely there. It's just whether he can, you know, keep his strikeouts low, and that's always going to be a problem for him. But yeah, there's no doubt about it. He's going to be launching quite a few.
Yeah, he's a giant. So it's like he's what, like 6'7"? He's Aaron Judge height. So it's like, yeah, that strike zone is huge. So it's going to be hard for him to control all of it. And Walker, how are you?
Pretty good. I was at the Detroit Tigers game last night. Watched them beat the ontologically evil Texas Rangers. And it was good. Torque bomb.
I saw the post live torque bomb. Detroit Pistons basketball, also good. Magic got pissed on last night. I'm very happy that every... Go ahead.
All I said was yes.
Oh, yes! I'm very happy every time I check in with a good Pistons team, it's the exact same team. It's like, we're just gonna grab you and pull you down into the mud with us.
It's literally just the meme of the guy that it's cut off halfway where the guy's putting his hand on his shoulders, like, we're gonna kill you.
Yeah.
But he's like, in a Pistons jersey.
It's like, joke's on you, I love this shit.
Pretty much.
It's it's the call an ambulance, 100% for you.
Meme. It's holding the gun the whole time.
Yeah.
It's the astronaut, call an ambulance for you.
For you. God. But I was watching it yesterday. I was like, oh man. I was like, this is the shit. This is from my era. Just
expect teams. Both of us in the wreckage, brother.
Yeah. You want to watch the game tape of this? It will be in the black box. All right. And then rest in peace, Tarik Skubal.
Unfortunately, Tarik Skubal has loose bodies in his elbow.
Put those bodies back.
I know, it's no good. They're doing that with the surgery. Seems like he's expected back after the All-Star break. Should pitch again this season, but yeah, out for a while. It sucks. It's not good.
It sucks, folks. But that's okay. None of your other pitchers are hurt, right? all of them are.
Good, is it good when your number two starter is Cater Montero?
Yes, that's very good.
Oh, okay. Well, is it good when your number three starter is perpetually shelled Jack Flaherty?
Ooh, Jack Flaherty, this is his year.
You know,
there's a guy in my home
2 years ago
fantasy baseball league. Every year he drafts Jack Flaherty, and every year he's like, "This is the year." He's like, "I'm not gonna fall for it again."
Oh.
He had one good year.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
Unfortunately. So I love Jack Flaherty, but he sucks.
Look, you can love pitchers who suck. Gestures to the San Francisco Giants. That concludes this episode of Baseball Absurdity. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Football Absurdity. All right. We are going to talk about two things today. We're going to jam in Winners and losers, veterans from the NFL draft. And we are also going to be talking our top 18. We did top 24 last year. Walker suggested 12, and I was like, 18. I don't think any of us could have stomached going all the way to 24. Although I do have rookies ranked all the way to 57 right now.
Oh, I just have 48. I stopped there.
My number 51 player, Garrett Nussmeier, folks.
Garrett Nussmeier, not in my top 48.
Well, Answer not in mine either.
Jeff.
Yeah. Eli Heidenreich, 49.
My final player, 48, Lewis Bond.
Lewis Bond. I don't think I've watched Lewis Bond. Hold on. Bond, Lewis Bond?
Indeed.
Nope. I have a bunch of tight ends to watch, so.
Number 46 and 47, famous Regus picks, Berrion Brown and Josh Cameron.
All right. All right, let's get started. We're going to start with winners and losers. We decided to prep three each. We didn't tell each other who it was, so if we have some overlap, oh well. These things happen. Who wants to start?
You know what? I think we should start negative. I'm going to go with the loser first.
Oh, dang.
I'm going to go with new Miami Dolphins quarterback Malik Willis.
Okay.
Now, people might think, well, why would you say that, Walker? They drafted a bunch of receivers. Yes, but most of them suck, and the one who doesn't suck is injured this year. So he's going to be throwing to Malik Washington, whose career yards per reception is under 9. And he's the best receiver on the team.
Greg Dulcich?
The other two receivers are Tutu Atwell and Jalen Tolbert. Yeah, Greg Dulcich at tight end, which is not great. Devon Achane might get 120 targets this year.
Devon Achane RB1 season?
I wouldn't go that far, but in PPR, he might get close.
Nah, it's still going to be Jahmyr Gibbs.
It's still going to be Jahmyr Gibbs because of Helmonte.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Isaiah Pacheco, that'll be great for four games till he gets hurt.
Pretty much, yep.
Till they put him in the Hannibal Lecter mask because he run like to bite people.
And then they're going to sign some rando off the street. 35-year-old Latavius Murray.
AJ Dillon making his way.
I hope not.
Mike, how do you feel about Malik Willis, big loser?
Yeah, I you can definitely say so. I mean, even the wide receivers they did draft, they didn't draft until the third round. Mm-hmm. So the priority definitely wasn't there as far as wide receiver, even though they lost both their starting wide receivers from last year. And when you don't have anybody to throw to, that could be kind of an issue.
Nah, I don't see it's a problem. Also, Detroit Lions, week 8 sign, Khalil Herbert. Current free agent, Khalil Herbert.
What's DJ Dallas doing?
Let's see. DJ Dallas, you are a Jacksonville Jaguar.
What?
Yeah.
Weird.
How you feel about... Oh, Walker. You know who's a free agent? You know who's a free agent?
Who?
Walker Kelly favorite, Chase Edmonds.
Oh, well. But he's bad now, unfortunately.
He is. Dario Ogunbowale? Antonio Gibson?
I love Dario Ogunbowale. We all love Dario. It doesn't really fit what we need out of a running back.
Fine. All right, those are your free agent running backs.
Najee. There it is.
Najee? Oh, man. Najee.
We're scooping up Najee week 8.
Najee is going to be trying to think. Najee is going to get a camp invite from
Baltimore.
No.
Because he was on the Chargers. That's why I'm saying that. Because
yeah, that's a good point. The Giants. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The Giants.
There Big John.
Big John, baby. All right. Mike, who is, we're starting with losers. Walker's getting us off on a good, on the right foot with Malik Willis as a big loser from this draft. What about you, Mike? Who's your first big loser?
First big loser, I'm going to go Ashton Jeanty.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The main reason is Mike Washington. that they drafted. And if you are in tune with the Clint Kubiak offense, you know that he loves to use that two running back set, no matter how really bad they are. I mean, Zach Charbonnet turned out to be okay, but Kenneth Walker, they never use Kenneth Walker as just the main back. And I don't think they're going to go away from that. I think they're definitely going to use Mike Washington here, and that's going to take away the value that Ashton Jeanty once had in his rookie season as the bell cow back. He's still going to be, you know, prominent, you know, and really good if he can get into the end zone, and the offense can be better, especially at the offensive line. But it's going to drag him down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Walker and I both had Mike Washington as the RB2 in the class. Mike, you had him 3?
I don't remember. I think so.
Yeah. Hello. Goodbye.
Brando in here.
SLC Sense. All right, there we go. Leaving that in.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Leave it up to a Panther fan.
In the podcast. Forgot. We were talking about Ashton Jeanty. So Jeanty, I mean, yeah, I can definitely see it, especially because I think it's going to be a season where they're kind of setting up for the future with Mendoza. Like, I don't think they particularly care how they're doing. So they might not put too much tread on his tires this season with Washington there. I still think he's worth what? RB. It's probably going to be hard to take him outside the top 12 running backs just because of his talent level. But like last year we were talking about, like, people were talking about him like a first round running back. I don't think you can talk about him like that anymore.
No,
at least for now, at least for this season.
Exactly.
Walker, do you agree? Do you concur?
I mean, in my current preliminary projections, I have Jeanty at RB5. So
God, Walker said that with a finger up, pushing up glasses. In my preliminary projections.
Fuck you, Jeff.
I mean, I think I'm a little more bearish on Jeanty. I mean, they did add Linderbaum, which will help a lot. But I mean, that offensive line had a long way to go. There are players every year that I'm more than happy to be wrong about. Especially at the top. And I think Jeanty is that player this year for me where I'm like, I love the player. Don't get me wrong. Like I don't know if I have him in any dynasty leagues cause I wasn't in a position to draft and brag. But I do have Jeremiah Love this year opposite of Bragg. But I'm more than happy to be wrong on him this year, because if that's the price you're paying, like, I'm going to be a little bit more hesitant. And if I missed out on a second round pick that performed like a first round pick. Like, it's not the end of the world for me. And I want to see it first. I want to see it first. I'm taking that tack with Ashton Jeanty.
That's fair. I mean, I understand it certainly. I just mostly, I feel like with Kubiak coming in, the scheme in the run game is going to be a lot better than it was with Chip Kelly last year. And
what? No, I'm just kidding. I said, how?
Yeah, I know. I was like, you did catch me off guard. That was pretty good.
Kubiak will be calling plays that are actually in the playbook.
Right, yes.
Immediate upgrade.
Right. Yeah, I just think he's going to have, I think he will get a large workload still. Washington will probably get more touches than the rotating cast of terrible backups they had last year, but I don't think it'll be much more. I mean, it still was the fourth round they picked him in.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's just this class was weird. Unless you were in the NFC West, you weren't drafting a running back until day 3. So,
yep.
Weird class. So, all right, my first loser. I mentioned it to Walker and Mike before we started recording, I believe. Jerry Jeudy. Welcome to the nether realm, bud. At the current point in his career, Casey Concepcion and Denzel Boston are both better than him. He is stuck in quarterback hell. I mean, I'm like, fuck it, put Taylen Green in there. Just put Taylen Green in there. Just do it. Just see what happens. Just see what happens.
We're running the triple, folks.
Yeah, that's right. Just let it happen. Just don't, the death is coming. The slow grip of death. And then I'm going to flip him for a third, baby. Harold Fannin is the alpha there. Like, he's the number one. As of right now, like, it could be either Concepcion or Denzel Boston, but there's no world where it's Jerry Jeudy at this point. Last year he had 34% of the team's air yards, which those are going to go Concepcion's way. And he had 21% of their target share, which those are going to go Boston's way. He was wide receiver 61 last year, and his target share and volume are going down. Bro is undraftable at this point with the results of this NFL draft. Like, there's no reason to draft him in redraft. He's gone. Like, he's off my board entirely. So, big loser for me, Jerry Jeudy in Cleveland. I kept wanting to type Denver also because I'm living in 3 years ago.
3 years ago. That was yesterday.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Jerry Jeudy, really, regardless. Mm-hmm. And he also plays in Cleveland, who, as we know, has the worst quarterback situation in the league. And his team drafted a receiver in the first round and the second round. And he was already not the alpha because a 22-year-old tight end is better than he is as well. So, for all those reasons, I am also out.
All right. That's a big no for me, dog. Right. Mike, how do you feel about Jerry Jeudy? Big loser. Fuck it.
Yeah. I actually had him on my list as well as one of my losers. All right. So, totally agree with you on that one. He had one good season, and there's no reason to believe he's going to have another at this point.
Ready. You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here, actually.
Folks, Jeremy Curley, Jeudy.
Wow.
One Jeremy good Curley. Season.
Yeah, Jeremy Curley led the 49ers in targets 1 year.
Yeah, with 100 and some.
Yeah, like 107, I think. Anyways.
I'm like, a lot.
All right. That's a lot for Jeremy Curley. That's a lot for Jeremy Curley.
Way too many.
Yeah. Alrighty. Second. So first round of losers, we got Malik Willis, Ashton Jeanty, Jerry Jeudy. Let's start back up at the top with Walker. Who's your second loser?
Mentioned actually by Mike earlier in the podcast for an unrelated reason. I'm going with Zach Charbonnet. Pretty obvious on its face, you would think. He already had taken a slight hit because they did go out and sign Emmanuel Wilson, who is a fairly similarly talented running back and should take the Charbonnet role for the first half of the season before Charbonnet gets healthy again. And then they drafted Jadarian Price at 32, which I don't particularly like that pick, but that means that they clearly think highly of Price and will give him the opportunity to earn the starting job early in the season. And if he does, then I fully expect him to get probably slightly more work than Charbonnet, just like Walker did. And with Charbonnet also coming back from injury, he's the type of guy I think you just don't draft at all this year.
Yeah, he was on my short list, like when I was just like, all right, let me put together some losers before I decided the guys I wanted to talk about. One sentence kind of describes his whole thing this year. Wally pipped by a guy who wasn't even on the team when he got hurt.
Yes.
Wally pipped by a guy who wasn't even in the league when he got hurt. So
Wally pipped by a backup running back from college.
Ooh, is that good? Is that what you're going for?
No.
All right, Mike, how do you feel about Zach Charbonnet, big loser? Big fucking loser.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where he's, you know, his injury, of course, and then, you know, it's, yeah. So I agree, Zach Charbonnet, you know, big L on the forehead.
He was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb.
An L in the shape of Bang. The forehead.
Walker, you know that Mike hates the guy from Smash Mouth, right?
I was just gonna say, you know, Seattle's playing some Smash Mouth football this year.
Mike, tell Walker about how much you hate the guy from Smash Mouth.
Well, I used to, before they were famous in San Jose, I used to hang out with these guys, and
Oh.
yeah, the who me and the lead singer did not get along very well.
Fair enough.
Woo!
All right.
Mike taking the
That's been
Sugar
my
Ray side in the late '90s wars. All right, Mike, your second loser.
My second loser is Garrett Wilson.
Ooh, that was one of
Ooh.
my bonus guys.
Bonus losers.
Yeah, they added Sadiq and Omar Cooper, and they don't really have a quarterback. And on top of that, I haven't given up. Maybe, I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's a former Colt or what it is, but I haven't given up on a Donovan Mitchell. There's
It's
something
because
there.
if he catches the ball, it's great. That's the problem.
Exactly. He shows all this talent. He just can't figure out how to put his hands on the ball and secure it. So there's just way too many moving parts, and then you don't have an engine to drive these moving parts, and it just spells big doom for Garrett Wilson.
As I put it last week, Mike, Geno Smith is, what as I said, there's a lot of mouths to feed, and Geno Smith is serving up soup with a hole in the ladle. Like, there's just not
Yes.
enough to, you just can't get enough to go around.
I think we described it as Gino's working really hard and not getting much done.
Yeah, exactly. Just he's out there. Stuff's happening, but no, there's no results. So yeah, I agree, Garrett Wilson. And Geno Smith, like, he can't throw the ball that much. Like, come on. Come
Yeah,
on. He can't.
I just think when he throws it, it's going to be up to Garrett Wilson a lot of the time.
That's true. I mean, that's true, but it's like, I mean, what is this? They're gonna use two first round picks on pass catchers, and he's still gonna have like a 30% target share?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't
Yeah.
know about that. I mean, he could.
This year, yes, because Gino is gonna know where his bread's buttered.
That's true.
Going forward, probably not.
No, Garrett Wilson wrote back, so.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson for 1 year only.
All right. All right, my big loser, Tyler Allgeier Cuckchair, once again.
He did it.
Had a good rookie year. Got shunted aside by Bijan Robinson. Went out to the desert, got a fresh start. Said, oh, man, I'm so excited to be the RB1 on this team. Bang, Jeremiah Love, number three pick. Back to just being a handcuff. These are his opportunity shares by his 4 years in the league. 46.7, 36.6, 27.8, 28.5.
Ready to learn 28.5%.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Next
James
year's
Conner
share
is
again.
there. It might be
Well, but
20 with James.
James Conner is not going to stay healthy.
That's true. It is James Conner. Anyways, and I don't think he's gonna do much, except for maybe steal goal line carries to do be anything but a handcuff. 56th in yards per touch last year, 53rd in juke rate, 36th in explosive rating. Just a guy. Because he is kind
Yeah.
of a volume runner. Like you can't, he's not like Demond Claiborne where you can just wind him up and see if he can get a 60-yard touchdown. He's just not gonna do that. So
No, I have him.
loser,
I
Allgeier.
yeah, I mean, I have a top 50 right now in running backs, and he's 50.
I mean, that's fair. That's like top handcuff territory.
Yep. He's in a tier with Jonathan Brooks, Kalen Black, and Kimani Vidal.
Kevonny Vidal belongs above that group, IMO.
They signed who did they sign? Keaton Mitchell. So I just felt like Keaton Mitchell for three games will take enough touches away that it'll be annoying.
Walker, huge Keaton Mitchell truth. Keaton Mitchell truther.
Yeah, you really nailed that one.
Yeah, dude, just swish. Swish off the top rope. All right. Mike, Tyler Allgeier, Cuck Chair, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, not only was he going to be battling anyways with James
Connor.
Conner,
Yeah.
and who's the other guy there? I can't remember his name.
Trey Benson.
Benson, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot he existed.
It was going to be a battle in that sense. They add you know, with third round, not third round, third pick of the draft.
And, third overall, yeah.
Jeremiah Love. So, yeah, it's just way too many parts there to feel anything about Algier. I mean, he had a good chance because Benson is not very, very good. And as Walker pointed out, James Conner's always hurt. So there was an opening there, but yeah, that door's completely shut and nailed shut at this point.
Yeah, the room felt weird and crowded before they spent the number three overall pick on Jeremiah Love. Like, I understand Trey Benson never shown anything, but a lot of overlapping skills. James Conner always hurt, but has shown things in the past. And it's just like, that was a weird room. And they're like, oh yeah, by the way, you guys are all fighting for RB2, distant RB2. So have fun with that. And I feel bad for Tyler Algier. So Tyler Algier traded to...
Feeling bad for Tyler Algier. Call that Kryler Algier.
Kryler Algier. Folks, episode title. Kryler Algier. Spelled all-jeer. Like J-E-E-R.
Oh. Yeah, you're going to go that far, eh? Of course you are.
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not. That's Evan's style. Just push it all the way. Just push it as hard as you can.
We're going over the edge.
Yeah. Just
voice.
All the way.
We'll steam ahead.
We're Thelma and Louise-ing this, although there's three of us. So Thelma and Louise and Jane.
Louise.
Thelma and Louise and the other Louise.
Yes, Louise again.
Oh, all right. So we've got six losers. Nine, if you count the host of this podcast. Damn, bang. Malik Willis, Zach Charbonnet for Walker, Ashton Jeanty, Garrett Wilson for Mike, Jerry Jeudy, Tyler Algier for me. Going to the last round, Walker, who is your third biggest loser in this draft?
San Francisco 49er, Christian Kirk. For two reasons. One, because they drafted DeJuan Stripling at 33, who might not be good, but he is young and a functioning body. And also because, did you know Christian Kirk sucks now?
Yes.
Okay. Because I just, I was, when I was doing his projections, I was like, man, Christian Kirk hasn't been good for like 3 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I held on really terrible. Hard a couple of years ago and then was like, nope.
Oh yeah. His efficiency was so bad last year.
Yeah. He's not good. I mean, when he signed with the Niners, I was like, okay. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, nice, Christian Kirk.
Like, right, it's like, he's a wide receiver four at best now.
Cool, man. You can get those
not Willie for fantasy Sneed either, for real snaps. Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not super enthused by Christian Kirk. Although, given how the 49ers season usually goes, get ready to learn a wide receiver one snaps, buddy.
Yeah, eventually at some... This is going to be the year Christian Kirk doesn't get hurt. And he's going to have the most inefficient 120 targets because everyone else does get hurt.
Some are calling him the new Jeremy Curley. All right, Mike, how you feeling about Christian Kirk? Big old loser.
Yeah, I thought pretty much his career is pretty much over anyways. I mean, he hasn't done much
in what,
2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
And then... He goes to the Niners, which is not a bad place. You know, Brock Purdy, you know, he could be the number two, relax a little bit.
Who's Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I never heard of this guy.
America's favorite toddler quarterback, Brock Purdy.
And then now he's going to have to deal with Stripling and Mike Evans, and it's just not a fantastic place for him to be in.
Remember when Christian Kirk got 4 years, $72 million?
Yep.
Trent Baalke rocks, dude. He's so bad at his job, and he's back. He's with the Browns now.
Of course he is.
He's a special consultant.
He's just the guy they go to give them wrong opinions that they can ignore.
Yeah, like there's the episode of Seinfeld where George goes against his every instinct he has. He does the opposite to see if his life is better. That's what they have Trent Baalke there for. They're like, Trent, what would you do here? He's like, oh, I'd sign this guy. And they're like, all right, move along.
Don't, yeah, move along. We're not doing this.
Yeah.
Don't sign him.
Yeah, blackballed. Imagine being blackballed from the Browns.
more like brown bald.
Brown bald?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so Walker's losers are done. Mike, who is your third loser?
RJ Harvey.
Oh. Mike was quiet during the discourse before the podcast started.
Bring it on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have J.K. Dobbins coming back, and that's going to really hurt because he'll be the starter until he gets hurt, of course. And then the Denver went out and got Jonah Coleman, who we all have in our top 18. And he's definitely going to, especially as a rookie, they're going to really want to give him a chance to see what he could do. So you have a split time. Even if J.K. Dobbins goes down, which you probably will, you're going to probably see a split with him and Jonah Coleman. And you're just not going to see the same numbers that you did when we saw him be sort of the bell cow back last year when Dobbins went down.
And Sean Payton is the type of guy that is going to be using multiple backs. He always has. Like going all the way back to the Saints Super Bowl era, where it was Pierre Thomas, Reggie Bush for a while.
Chris Ivory,
Travaris Cadet. Like he was working guys through. So I think that now he has like a stable of backs. Like I kind of feel like he has three guys to ride the hot hand for the first two downs. And Harvey can play on third down too, but in Coleman, Harvey, and Dobbins. And then he also has one of these guys are going to get cut, but he has Jaleel McLaughlin and Tyler Bidet there as well. So I was like, that's a lot of backs who saw the field last year, and they're adding Jonah Coleman to that mix. So I'm with Mike on this one, but Walker, I think you said before the podcast, RJ Harvey is the best running back in the NFL. How do you respond to these allegations?
That's categorically false. Did not say that.
Wow.
But I do. I am a little more bullish on Harvey just in terms of statistical production this year, but his best case scenario is still probably like mid to low end RB2 for fantasy, and he's absolutely in the dead zone.
Oh yeah, he's they're calling him 2026's Chuba Hubbard, the most dead zone running back out there.
That's tough. You don't like to hear it, folks.
Yeah, you don't. That's not what you like to hear. My third loser was check notes RJ Harvey. For all the reasons Mike outlined, but I have some bonus ones that we can go over. Elik Iomanner, we hardly knew ye, bud. The digital lick,
He's
unplugged.
Dead.
He's dead. And I also had Zach Charbonnet, Garrett Wilson, and then Matthew Stafford, just because everybody's like, they're going to get him Mekhi Lemon in the first round. They're going to get him a weapon. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll get him Kenyon Sadiq. And they're like, here's Ty Simpson, bud. Yep. Not even offensive line help. Here's Ty Simpson.
No. Bud. Here's a bad quarterback that you have to mentor now.
Yeah. Hey, you know how you're trying to win a football game every week? You also have to teach this dork how to play football in the NFL. Good luck. Have fun. Real nasty stuff there for Matthew Stafford. All right. Vibes are bad. Vibes have never been more rancid. Let's bring up the vibes, shall we? Three winners. Winner, winner. Who would like to go first? Let's see. Walker went first for loser. So Mike, you'll go first for winners. Who's your first big veteran winner from the NFL draft?
Bashaal Tuten.
Yeah, that was my number two.
So even though Travis, whatever, Etienne, his name is, is gone, they did bring in Chris Rodriguez, and they still have LaQuinn Allen. Those guys aren't very good. Rodriguez is on his second team already, and Allen didn't prove to be anything. So what do they have? They have a chance to draft a running back, and they didn't do it. So Chris Rodriguez will probably get a little carry, and Allen maybe too, but This looks like a lion's share for Tootin, and he escaped the draft being the primary ball carrier.
Yeah, not only that, they got Nate Borkicher to shore up the running game in the second round. He had one game with over 10 touches last year where he finished with 15 attempts, 75 carries, and a touchdown versus the Chargers. And weirdly, he scored a lot of touchdowns last year, 7 touchdowns on 93 touches. Now, if he gets 186 touches, my math tells me 14 touchdowns.
Oh, my God.
There's no such thing as regression.
Right.
Right. Walker, how do you feel about Bashel Tootin?
Not great. I kind of think he sucks.
What?
Yeah, he's not good at running the ball. He also wasn't particularly efficient in the passing game, and he can't block on third downs. So that transitions nicely into my number one vet winner, Chris Rodriguez Jr.
Oh, damn.
I have Rodriguez leading the backfield in rushes, rushing yards, and touchdowns. He will not catch the ball at all, so for fantasy, it doesn't really matter. But I think he will have occasional streamer value in good matchups, and he will be extremely annoying to everybody who has decided that Bashel Tootin is going to be like top 20, because the efficiency wasn't there in a small role last year. I can't imagine the efficiency suddenly gets way better when he gets more touches. I don't think he's going to average 4 yards a carry. I don't think he'll catch 80% of his targets. I think he will struggle to handle the increased role, and I think that it'll end up being more of a timeshare between him and Rodriguez, with Allen working in like 2 minute drill.
People have him top 20.
Oh, I don't know, but I'm just guessing. Oh,
okay, I was gonna say
the conjecture on my part.
Or do we want to? Who do we just say was the dead zone embodied?
RJ
Harvey. Oh, I know the answer to this question for Walker. RJ Harvey or Bashel Tootin?
Yeah, I mean, I would take Harvey.
Yeah, Mike. RJ Harvey or Bashel Tootin?
I'd go Harvey.
All right, RJ Harvey or David Montgomery, running back, Houston.
Oh, big winner for Jeff.
Yeah. What do we think?
I would take Harvey, but barely. I have them in the same tier.
Okay.
Might go Montgomery there.
David Montgomery traded to Houston in the offseason. They're going to let Jahmyr Gibbs fly. And then they drafted no running back, they being Houston. They did draft Kalen Rutledge, Marlon Klein, and Fabecchi. Walker, help me out here. Mwaiwu?
I don't know that one. Sorry.
Okay. Three blockers. Offensive linemen in the first four rounds. And David Montgomery, like, I expected it to be like, oh, you know, he was at like 3.9 yards per carry last year. Like, maybe he'll bounce back. 4.5, which is above league average. 8 touchdowns. He did still have that kind of goal line role, because that was like the one knock on Jahmyr Gibbs's game, is he does struggle at the goal line. Last year, he was top 20 in yards per touch and 19th in fantasy points per opportunity. His stuff rate was 14%, and I was like, is that good? Is that bad? So I went and looked at Woody Marks. 25% for Woody Marks. One out of every four carries for Woody Marks was stuffed last year. Is that good?
Yeah. No, it's very bad.
Okay. He had also better marks than Woody. Against light boxes, out of shotgun, and under center. So basically, no matter how they're running, he's running better. Also in heavy boxes. I forgot to write that down as well. So Dave Montgomery, better than Woody Marks, basically in every way. And Woody Marks is the only thing between him and touches. So huge winner for me, David Montgomery. I'm really excited about him. Second half of his career, but I will take running back Frankenstein, to quote the classic graphic.
I mean, I love the player. I do worry about the efficiency a little bit, because I still, even with the recent investment, I still think Houston's offensive line is going to be largely a mess this season.
Sure.
But Montgomery's going to be top 30 for sure, as long as he stays healthy, which he's largely been very good at. I think Marks will still be utilized in the passing game a fair amount, because he was fairly good at that. But Montgomery's going to be the by far the leader in touches, rushes, touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, where do you know where he's going right now or where he might be going?
I can check that. But, I mean, we could have a and I didn't get to mute myself because I was looking up David Montgomery ADP. I'm sorry. David Montgomery ADP. Why am I looking at David ADP? We could have like a 2024 Joe Mixon where they just like feed him until he throws up. Not particularly efficient, but it could be a, just a volume play. Why is my 4-for-4 ADP, bookmark not working? Hold on.
Yeah, I kind of think he's going to have a very, like, Tony Pollard in Tennessee style season where he racks up a fair amount of yards, scores some touchdowns, but it all ends up being fairly inefficient and largely not winning you a lot of weeks.
I think if you can get him as a flex, he might be a good...
Yes.
Everything
if you go running back heavy... just because of how the board falls and he's your RB3, you can pretty much play him in the flex every week. He'd be very good for that.
Yeah. And everything I'm finding is just rookie draft stuff. So let me see if
I'm checking. Yeah, it might not even be up yet.
Yeah. Yeah. No ADP for, let's see, ADP fantasy pros. Let's see. I really want to find this ADP and my 4-for-4 thing is just like bunk. This is 2025. They don't have 2026 up yet. I'm going to say he's, somewhere between RB1 and 50.
I'm going to have to go with that range is accurate.
Is accurate?
Not,
perfect.
Not very precise, but accurate indeed.
Accuracy versus precision. That's right. All right, Mike, who is your second winner?
My second winner is Tyler Shuck.
Oh, he was one of my bonus guys.
And the reason being is Chris Olave. He had a really good year, stayed healthy for the most part. I don't think he missed any games. I don't remember, but I don't think he missed much. And then if any, and then they added Jordan Tyson, which is going to really help him and the stretch the field and be a really good second receiver for him. And then they talking about Travis Achane, they got him as well. So Tyler Shuck looks like he's, you know, got weapons at his disposal and, you know, we'll see if he can use them.
Not only that, but don't forget Juwan Johnson, tight end extraordinaire.
Juwan Johnson, baby.
I found best ball ranks. That's the best we're going to find right now. Dave Montgomery, RB20.
That's too high.
Dave Montgomery or Cam Scataboo?
That's Scat.
Mike?
I'll go Scat.
All right. Dave Montgomery or... where'd he go? Oh, there he is. Javonte.
Javonte.
Yeah, Javonte is 18. That feels low. Dave Montgomery.
That's exactly where I have him.
Oh, okay. Dave Montgomery or Bucky?
Bucky.
Yeah, hopefully he can score some touchdowns.
I'm not bullish on Bucky at all, but I have him above Montgomery.
Kyren Williams, perpetually RB 13 through 15. Jeremiah Love, RB 12 on this. Omarion Hampton, RB 11.
That's too high.
Kenneth Walker, RB9?
That's too high. And who is like way too low then?
Let's see. I'll just see. Henry 13, Jacobs 14, Kyren 15, Travis Achane 16, Breece Hall 17.
Breece Hall too low.
Breece Hall. Put him above between Jacobs and Henry, IMO.
Where's Chase Brown?
Chase Brown is 10. He's before Omarion Hampton. Quinshon 23, Swift 24, Tootin 25, Chuba 26, Harvey 27, Price 28, Ramondre 29, Jalen Warren 30. I'm not going to keep reading the list.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess. Seems like the main ones that are way too high are Walker and Hampton.
Yeah, Chris Rodriguez, RB39.
Exactly where I have him. Bang.
Bang. All right. Let's see. Mike's got Tyler Shuck. Oh, we didn't talk about Tyler Shuck. Sorry. So Tyler Shuck was one of my bonus guys. He showed last year that he's not the best quarterback, but he's a cromulent quarterback, very Davis Mills skill level. Walker was right. Walker, I made the bit too hard that now Walker is the Tyler Shuck representative.
That's right. Yes. I have been drafted into the Shuck fandom. Yeah. And it's a delight to be here. We love our liberal quarterback king. The goofy guy who runs better than you think. I love that they got him Jordan Tyson. I still think he's probably not going to be very good for fantasy.
No.
Because I think the rushing stats from last year were largely not repeatable. But he will have streaming value, and he's definitely draftable in two quarterback leagues.
Yeah, that's right. Knock if you shuck, baby. All right.
Right.
Walker, your second winner.
My second winner is a longtime favorite of Walker Kelly, but only in fantasy, not in real life, because he is, unfortunately, a hated Green Bay Packer. It's Jaden Reed. I think he completely escaped the Packers drafting any weapons at all. The only guy ahead of him in the pecking order in the receiver room is Christian Watson, who is going to play 8 games. Just got a new fat contract. I think Reed is in for a top 36 season, and I think a lot of people probably are going to write him off after he was injured and not very good last year. But he's still the receiver on this team that gets open the most consistently, and they love to use him in the run game as well. I just feel like his role will be large enough, and he will score enough touchdowns that he'll end up being top 36 again.
All right. Nobody hates Jaden Reed more than me. One of my winners. Jaden Reed, baby.
Woo!
Dontavian Wicks, gone. Romeo Doubs, gone. Matthew Golden sucks ass. That's right. Christian Watson and Jaden Reed, baby.
Tucker Kraft returning from injury.
Yeah. Luke Musgrave. Jeff will get mixed up with Tucker Kraft for some reason. Jaden Reed, huge winner. My knock on Jaden Reed was always the idea of Jaden Reed was better than the execution because there were too many mouths to feed. Well, World's Worst Diva is gone. Dontavian Wicks is gone. Those aren't the same guy. World's Worst Diva is Romeo Doubs. They're both gone. And it's Jaden Reed, Matthew Golden, and Christian Watson. And like that's it in the wide receiver room. So pretty cool.
Oh, and Savion Williams. Don't forget about Savion Williams.
Oh my God. You mean Savion? Savion, two carries per game, Williams.
Savion, bad Quentin Johnston, Williams.
Yeah. Ugh. Savion, destitute Debo, Williams.
Destitute Debo. That's good.
They were one of my bonus.
I'm calling every gadget chunky receiver that sucks destitute Debo from
now on. This is like the worst Debo Samuel you've ever seen in your life. All right.
That's Malachi Corley.
Ugh. Malachi Corley is his own thing. Malachi Corley is
dead Debo.
Dead Debo. Yeah. Kind of like how every possession receiver that's like not very dominant is Jacoby Myers. Every chunky gadget guy is Debo Samuel.
Pretty much.
Every thinner gadget guy, but still kind of chunky is Randall Cobb. And every
skinny gadget guy is Tavon Austin.
Yes, that's exactly what I was gonna say.
Let's go, baby.
I was gonna say every undersized gadget guy is Tavon Austin. That's perfect. I love trying to come up with by the way, all the speedsters in the draft. I'm like, this one's Calvin Austin. This one's just like tiny speedy guys. Tutu Atwell.
Yeah, this one's Tutu Atwell. This one's Malik Washington.
Yeah, it's all the same guy. All right. Mike, your third winner in this draft.
My third guy is Mark Andrews.
Oh, Mandrews.
Wow, nice.
They They didn't do much in the draft. They did get Matthew Hibner, which, Jeff, I know you like.
Matthew Himbo?
Himbo. But, you know, he's probably going to be learning the ropes and, you know, and just sort of getting inducted into the football. And then they also lost Isaiah Likely. He moved on to the Giants. So it's Mark Andrews number one without any threat. So I think as long as he can stay healthy, being the aging tight end that he is, he should be do very well with Lamar Jackson.
You're not concerned about who they take, Jacoby Lane and was it Surratt, the other guy they took?
Yeah, Surratt.
Surratt. Are you not concerned about those guys?
No, no, not at all.
Oh, okay then. All right, Walker, how do you feel about that? Mark Andrews, big winner, big dub, big trust.
Well, funnily enough, my number three winner, Mark Andrews.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. All right, Walker, continue.
Yeah, I Jacoby Lane's terrible. Just not a good football player. That's not going to be an issue at all. Mm-hmm. Surratt is perfectly fine, but he's a possession guy and like a back shoulder guy. He doesn't fill the same role as Andrews. I do quite like Matthew Hibner as a player, and I think he landed in a good spot, but he's not going to take targets from Andrews year one. I just think that this is, with Andrews getting a new contract this year too, and being back to the clear number one tight end on the team, they clearly value him. And I think this extends his fantasy relevance deeper into his career than we thought.
Yeah, that's right. You hear that, my home league? Give me a second rounder for him, please. Please.
Here's the big question. For 2026, who scores more fantasy points, Mark Andrews or Isaiah Likely?
Mark Andrews. Mike, what do you think?
Andrews.
I agree.
Yeah. I think Likely is going to get, let's go back to the board. I closed them, of course. Best ball ADP. Let's see where.
I would guess they're pretty similar.
All right. We've got Isaiah Likely, tight end 12. Mark Andrews, tight end 17.
Probably a little low.
18 picks later.
Yeah, that's not right. I have Andrews just above Likely, one spot.
And Mark Andrews going behind Kenyon Sadiq and Dalton Kincaid. Why?
Well, Kincaid is right around the same as Andrews, unfortunately, but Sadiq should not be going that high.
You hit that Kincaid like you hit that Kincaid like Donald John Trump. You're like, Kincaid. Yeah.
Kincaid.
You gave a little Trump stank on it.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Speaking of guys with stink on him, my third winner, Rashee Rice, Kansas City.
Yeah.
There was a lot of ink spilled about they're going to go get Mekhi Lemon or somebody in the first round. They got Cyrus Allen in the fifth instead. And I think we kind of need to remember how much of this offense, like there's a load bearing amount of Rashee Rice bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like 30% target share, seventh most red zone targets, and he missed a bunch of games last year. Number one in red zone target share and design target share. Fourth in fantasy points per route run. And it's him and Xavier Worthy? That's it?
Extremely, extremely old Travis Kelce. Kenneth Walker will catch some passes, so will Breshard Smith, but not that many. Tyquan Thornton is a good deep threat, but that's it. And then there's nobody else, so I completely agree. I have Rashee Rice, wide receiver 6.
Nice.
This season, so.
Yeah, that passing offense is going to be Rashee Rice and Smash McDoubles, and that's it.
Yep.
With Xavier Worthy doing the poor man's Jaden Reed. That's right, I said it.
I mean, you're right to say it. He is the poor man's Jaden Reed.
Let's go. All right. Mike, your thoughts on Rashee Rice this season?
Yeah, you would figure they would add a wide receiver, but they didn't. And then they added a running back, which should help the offense quite a bit. The only problem, of course, is Patrick Mahomes' injury and what that is going to entail, if he's going to be out for a while or what. But if not, then yeah, all systems go for Rashee Rice.
All right, perfect. All right, so our winners in this draft: for Walker, Chris Rodriguez, Jaden Reed, Mark Andrews. For Mike, Bashel Tutin, Tyler Shuck, Mark Andrews. For Jeff, Bashel Tutin, David Montgomery, Rashee Rice. Losers: Malik Willis, Zach Charbonnet, Christian Kirk for Walker, Ashton Jeanty, Garrett Wilson, RJ Harvey for Mike, RJ Harvey, Jerry Jeudy, and Tyler Allgeier for Jeff. All right, we are now going to pivot and get into the pivot.
Yes, I do get that reference.
Hey, Walker's not that young. Walker, you are 30. We're going to pivot, talk about our top 18 rookie ranks for dynasty drafts right now. We did it two quarterback, and I'm just going to start right here. We have our top six consensus exactly the same.
Yep.
Jeremiah Love, Fernando Mendoza, Mekhi Lemon, Carnell Tate, Jordan Tyson, Jadarian Price. I don't know if there's much to say. If you listen to like our wide receiver episodes, that's not that surprising.
Right. I mean, I guess the big thing is that some people have Carnell Tate like 103 or even 102. That's really the biggest difference, is he went fourth overall and we don't have him go. We all have him fourth in the class, but we just didn't care for his tape quite as much as obviously the Titans did. And I think a lot of people are doing helmet scouting and just saying, well, he's a athletic Ohio State receiver, so he's going to be really good. I don't know about that, and I don't know how good the fit is with Cam Ward's style of play either, but it will get a lot of targets. He is a better receiver than like a Corey Davis style individual that they took in the top 5 years ago. So I think he'll do fine, but like, yeah, I think Lemon's ceiling is higher.
Yeah, I think so too. And the drafting, because after day one, I was like all in on Mekhi Lemon. The drafting of Eli Stowers does give me a little slight bit of pause, but not a lot. Like, I'm like, it made me stop and go, am I over my skis on Mekhi Lemon? And then I was like, no, because Goddard's going to be gone next year. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah. All right. At seven, I have Kenyon Sadiq. I have him, let's see, Walker has Kenyon Sadiq at eight. Mike has Kenyon Sadiq at nine. So I'm the Kenyon Sadiq guy. This Sadiq, Boston, Concepcion, Cooper, like that quad, that group, I've seen go, I think I'm like four rookie drafts deep. I've seen them go in various orders, and all of them seemed very, you know, correct in some way. So I think that Sadiq has a clearer path to targets than both Boston and Concepcion, who are going to steal from each other. And I think that I have him over Omar Cooper. So, as a talent level. So, you both have Concepcion higher. So you guys are more bullish on Concepcion.
I mean, you guys know, I really love the player. I don't love the situation, and honestly, it's a very weak 1-7. To have, even though I like Concepcion, he has no quarterback, and he's not going to be the leading target getter on the team. That's going to be Fannin. New coach too. I don't really know what the usage is going to look like, but I feel like Todd Monken thinks that he got his Zay Flowers here, and I know that there's the first round draft capital means something. And I think he's more than just a fast guy. I like the tape. So I think he can be a PPR scam even when he's not in a situation where he has like good players around him. So I think he can have a little bit of value until Cleveland finds somebody like who is an actual NFL quarterback to throw in the ball.
Okay, and that's my concern. That's like one of my concerns. Obviously it applies to Sadiq as well, but they probably won't have like a good settled quarterback situation till the second year of the guy they draft next year. So we're looking at 2028 for this group of four: Sadiq, Boston, Concepcion, and Omar Cooper. Like, it's going to be a little, it's going to be rough out there, folks. I think
probably, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Mike, let's talk about those four as kind of like a group. So Mike, you have Concepcion, then Cooper, then Sadiq, then Boston. You have Eli Stowers in there. We'll come back to Eli Stowers. But what has you with Cooper so much higher than Sadiq, or higher than Sadiq and Boston?
I like the fact that there's not a lot of competition in New York for Cooper. Garrett Wilson is obviously the number one guy. There's no doubt about that. But outside of him, there really isn't much competition for him to battle. And so he will be the number two guy there. And it's just going to be up to the quarterback, Geno Smith. Thank you. To deliver the ball. Let's just hope that Geno Smith doesn't have, you know, the bad season that he had in Vegas that he does in New York. For me, the main reason is just less competition.
Alrighty, so Walker, you have that group, Concepcion, Sadiq, Cooper, you have Stowers in there, you have Ty Simpson, Jeremy Bernard, and then Denzel Boston. So you hate Denzel Boston, is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I just think that Boston, the way he plays receiver, is going to be more affected in terms of fantasy production by bad quarterback play than Concepcion, because KC can get open underneath quickly, and Boston can't. And I don't really know if Boston can get open at all against NFL corners because he isn't fast. I think that he might catch a few touchdowns, but this offense probably won't score that many touchdowns. I don't think he's as good of a player as Concepcion, so I don't think that he will produce the same way.
Alrighty. And then we've talked around it. Eli Stowers, we have as a first round pick for all of us. Mike, Walker and I talked about Eli Stowers a little bit on the Friday episode last week. What are your thoughts on Eli Stowers to Philly?
Philly, yeah, I like it in the dynasty realm. I'm not a big fan of it being in the redraft realm. I think he has a lot of potential, but with Dallas Goedert back, it's going to be really hard for him to deliver. Just because two tight ends, I don't remember any team where two tight ends are just, you know, outstanding. So it's usually one or the other. And right now, if I had to pick one or the other, it would be Dallas Goedert.
Oh yeah, you don't remember Aaron Hernandez?
I think you're forgetting a dead
guy.
Oh
yeah,
forgetting what?
I forgot about those two.
A dead guy.
Yeah, I was gonna say which one's gonna be the killer, Eli Stowers or Dallas Goedert?
Or Dallas
God. Dallas God complex.
Dallas God complex.
And then Mike said Stowers in the shower, which is good too.
All right, Walker, you have Ty Simpson in your first round. Disgusting, disgusting display.
It's really bad. He sucks, and I still have him there because this rookie class is pretty bad. A lot of the landing spots, not good. Draft capital, weirdly allocated. So Ty Simpson going in the first half of the first round to a team with an ancient quarterback. He's probably going to play and start at some point during his rookie contract. His coach is Sean McVay, who will probably get as much out of him as possible. And so there is a possibility that he gets Purdyified into being a relatively decent fantasy producer. I don't think that's going to happen, but because of the extremely high draft capital and the huge need across the league for quarterback, he's going to get his shot at some point, and it's probably going to be in a friendly situation to produce for fantasy. But yeah, I think you can justify him as low as mid-second round because he's not good at football.
Yeah, he's really bad. So I started laughing when he said prettification because all I can picture is a pretty hypno.
Oh, God.
Woo! Oh. All right. All right. We all have Jeremy Bernard at 12, our king. Everybody loves a Jeremy. Michael Pittman.
Jeremy loves spreading, folks.
Yeah. Michael Pittman, old plus wash, DK Metcalf. Okay at football.
Jeremy DK Bernard. Metcalf does the same shit every year.
Yeah. Jeremy Bernard, the new hotness, up and coming, second rounder. I almost cried. No, I didn't almost cry. But mid second round pick for the Steelers, a priority pick for them. We're all very excited about that. This is where things get weird. Walker, you had Denzel Boston, as we mentioned. Mike, you have Antonio Williams at 13, first round pick of the second round. I have him at 17. Walker has him at 15. So you're very bullish on the slot receiver there in Washington.
Yeah, there's this, again, competition. And that's one of the things that I like about Williams is the fact that there isn't much there to compete with. Even Zach Ertz, he's probably done. So tight end is almost a vacant wasteland for the Commanders. And then Debo, I don't think he's going to be back. And that just leaves an older Terry McLaurin. I just like his opportunity, and hopefully he makes the most out of that with Jaden Daniels, and hopefully Jaden Daniels returns back to his rookie form, because he kind of had it rough his sophomore year outside of just being injured. He wasn't as good as he was his rookie year.
No. And I mean, the slot position is something they've been trying to fill in the mid rounds for a few years now. Like, they took Luke McCaffrey, they took Jalen Lane. They've been trying to like get a slot receiver. This is the third straight year they've taken a guy in the third or fourth round to try to fill this role. So hopefully, Antonio Williams does fill that role for them. That's something they've been trying to do for a while, but the talent level just hasn't been there. So, you know, hopefully Antonio Williams does it. Moving on to pick 14. We've talked about Ty Simpson. We talked about Jonah Coleman, my number 14, a little bit vis-a-vis RJ Harvey. But Walker, the debut on the list of Zachariah Branch, third round wide receiver to the Falcons at pick 14.
Yeah, I like Branch's his ability to get open. And again, this is PPR scam territory. It's telling when PPR scam receivers are top of the second round in rookie drafts. But yeah. Yeah, I have him and Williams back to back. I just like Branch a little better as a player. And I think both guys are going into a situation where they're probably going to end up as the wide receiver two on their teams, just due to a lack of competition and excitement to see what they can do. I think Branch will probably get a few more design targets because he's more electric after the catch than Williams is, but otherwise pretty similar situations. I don't see Branch being a huge difference maker, but he's definitely the type of guy who could end up being a consistent top 40 receiver that never leaves your roster, but is more of a bi-week fill-in type.
Yeah. And do you want to, so I took over an orphan. I made one pick 3-5. Cause I traded my first rounder. I didn't have my second rounder. Zachariah Branch. I consider that the steal of the draft to get him in the
extremely good value, in my opinion. Yeah,
incredible value. So mid third round for Zachariah Branch. Mike, you have him at 17. So you're in on Branch a little bit as well. As much as we can be in on somebody in a class that we keep going, please do not think that we like this class. Please.
Exactly. <You're right.
laughs> Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Zachariah Branch. I think he's undervalued at this point, and being around three, I think he's going to be one of those surprise guys that really do well, that people are going to be asking. He went in the third round. I'm very high on him. I like the landing spot is kind of iffy just because the quarterback situation, but he really should carve out a role for himself.
I actually love Zachariah Branch and Tua together just because Tua is obsessed with getting the ball out as quickly as humanly possible. And that's exactly Zachariah Branch's game, like slants, screens, stuff like that. A lot of short area targets, like Walker said, PPR scam stuff. I actually think that, hold on, let me try those again, but with words. I think that is going to be a good pairing for this season, specifically for the PPR scam aspect of it, even if he's not that great to start his career. Like, there is a built-in floor there with the way that Tua operates and the area of the field where Zachariah Branch does thrive. One thing I missed, 13, I had Chris Bell. I completely missed that. We got caught up talking about Antonio Williams. He's hurt right now. It's one of those things where he's going to be due back right around the start of the season. We talked about how Miami has no target competition for him at all whatsoever. So I liked the player. So if he does play this season, like, obviously it's going to be a big boon for you, but I think that this is a pick for 2027 and beyond when he's fully healthy with Chris Bell at the top of the second round. So, and if you're picking first at 201, you're not really picking a player to help you this year because your team stinks. Right. Or you traded into that pick and it's a luxury pick for you. All right. We've got number 15, Antonio Williams for Walker, Jonah Coleman for Mike, and Nick Singleton. That's the only guy we haven't talked about, Tennessee. This is where I'm really like hands on my knees, just kind of squinting at the players. Like, this Jonah Coleman, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, Antonio Williams, Zachariah Branch for me. I'm like, this might work.
I could see it in a narrow band here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Nick Singleton, he's behind Pollard and Tyjae Spears in Tennessee. He just needs to be one of those guys because it's a split backfield, and all of a sudden he has some value, PPR scam value. It's a narrow thing. Like I said, this is me like squinting and being like, I think I can find a path forward for this, but I'm not super like pounding the table for it.
Right. Oh, that makes sense.
All right, 16, Walker. You and I both have Catron Allen. What's up with Catron Allen?
Didn't get picked until the sixth round, but went to a Washington backfield that's in complete flux. And I kind of think he can take over that Chris Rodriguez / Brian Robinson role where he ends up being the main goal line guy. And then they do kind of a Bill between the 20s, Rashad White pass catcher, and Catron Allen touchdown vulture backfield. He will not catch passes, though. Do not put in the paper he will catch passes.
There's also, and I regret to inform you, as the world's first Bill cheerleader last year, there's a chance he just takes Bill off the field entirely.
I don't think so, because Bill has juice that Catron doesn't.
That's fair. All right, Mike, you have Chris Bell at 16. You excited for him for this year? Is that 2027 and beyond?
Yeah, probably 2027 and beyond. But 2026, we'll see what transpires. I do like his opportunity, but we'll see what actually happens here. Mm-hmm. Round three guy, so yeah.
Yeah, they could take a round one or two. Probably not take a round one wide receiver next year, but they could take a round one or two wide receiver and just completely like nuke Chris Bell's value. But we'll see. All right, 17. I have Antonio Williams. Mike has Zachariah Branch. We've already talked about them. Walker, Dejon Stribling, pick 33 overall to your San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, weird pick. I do think there's a possibility that he ends up being a Juwan Jennings style individual, and he's got the draft capital to back it up in an injury prone receiver room, so there's a chance he also Kendrick Bourne's his way into some big games just by existing and being healthy. I don't love the player, but like I say, the draft capital and the opportunity both very good. So he's got two out of three things. And in this class, that's good enough for top 18.
Mike and I, neither Mike nor I have Stripling in our top 18. Let's round it out. I have Zachariah Branch, 18. Mike, you have Elijah Surratt, 18. Surratt.
Yes.
You want to expand on that?
I do. Oh, you want me to talk? Oh, is that what we're doing here?
Yes, Mike, that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, being Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, and the fact that there's really no one else outside of Zay Flowers, I really think that they're going to give him a great opportunity to be that second wide receiver on this team. So they really need a second wide receiver on this team. I believe that Surratt's going to be it.
All right. Walker, take us home. Kalen Black, I'm going to predict Christian McCaffrey always hurt.
Not necessarily. It's more Isaac Garendo doesn't know how to use his eyeballs. And Jordan James is always hurt and really slow. So I think Black is the best option of the backups behind McCaffrey. And in the event that he goes down, Black will probably get the most touches and almost certainly get the most goal line carries. So, plus going forward, I mean, he's probably going to be on the team for 4 years. And I don't think Christian McCaffrey will be on the team for four more years. No. So eventually he will likely get a chance to at least be part of a committee backfield. I think with the draft capital, with the potential for more play as his career goes along, I think top 18 is fair, but yeah, I couldn't put him any higher than 18 because, again, he does not catch passes and the situation isn't good in the short term at all.
Yeah. It's very much a stash.
Yep. Yeah. This guy's going to live on your taxi squad unless McCaffrey gets hurt.
Yeah. All right. And, just to give people an idea of this draft, I posted this in the Discord. I just got to find it really quick. I said that a 110 this year is questionably a first round pick. The final three picks of round one last year were Loveland, Warren, and Quinshon Judkins. Okay.
Well, your 112 was better than this year's 1-6.
Yeah. This year, the 110 through 112 are Ty Simpson, Enzel Boston, and Eli Stowers by ADP.
Bad. Really bad.
It's a bad draft class, folks. Bad draft
class. All right, I have a bonus game for you guys.
Ooh, bonus game. All right, I'm listening.
Each of you get one. It's not that fun of a game. Each of you get one player per position that you can ask me where they are in my first rankings.
I will start with tight end. Mm-hmm. And I will go with, let's go Aronde Gadsden.
10.
All right, 10. Mike, do you have a guy you want to know in Walker's ranks?
Is this just rookies or veterans?
Oh, everybody.
Everybody? I am interested in where you have Max Clair.
Not in my top 25.
Okay.
No Rams tight end in my top 25 because they will all cannibalize each other.
That's right. They need to send the four of them off to an island, and whoever comes back gets to be tight end.
It will be Tyler Higbee because he's the craziest.
I was going to say Tyler Higbee does have an advantage, except they are all white, so I don't know if he can tap into his powers. All right, my second one. You know him, you love him. Amika Igbo.
Ah, classic. 33.
Oh, wow. Way off of consensus, Walker. You are way lower on Mecca Ibuka than consensus. 19 by best ball ADP right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be doing that.
Good Lord, Parker Washington is 34.
I also wouldn't be doing that.
What the hell are you guys doing?
I like Parker Washington, but that's a lot. That's too much.
I put Parker Washington on the block in my home league after that playoff game, and I got a second and third for him, and I was like, good enough for me.
Pretty good.
Done and done. All right. Mike, what wide receiver do you want to know about?
Ooh, wide receiver. I was going to go Trevor Lawrence, but I can do a wide receiver. George Pickens.
Ooh, good one. Nine.
Okay. So George, all right. George Pickens, nine. Going over to running back. Let me get Rico Dowdle, who I forgot was a Steeler now.
I'll give Mike his quarterback too. Trevor Lawrence, QB six.
Yes.
Jeff falling for it again this year, but it's correct.
It was correct last year.
For four games. Rico Dowdle, RB 28.
Okay. First of all, it was more than four games. Do you not know about armband Trevor Lawrence, Walker?
I know. I know all about him. Trust me, you wouldn't shut up about it.
All right, my quarterback, Kyler Murray, Minnesota.
And then we'll get Mike's running back too, but Kyler is QB 16.
Okay, I'm gonna take a bonus real quick. Jackson Fart,
20.
20.
I don't think he's gonna run as much this year.
Wow. Okay.
And also, Mike, I don't trust his health either because his brain is scrambled eggs.
Damn, Frasier theme song. Damn, brain is tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
So true. Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, Mike, you're a running back that you want another rank of.
Guy we kind of talked about quite a bit on this pod, Travis Etienne.
Oh, there you go.
He is RB 17 for me.
There you go. Perfect. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Football Absurdity Podcast. We will be back next week to do who knows what. We're going to stop the recording, and then we're going to figure that out. And guess what? You don't get to hear that discussion. So thanks for listening. Take care, and have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.